You have a chance to be entered in a contest to come and tour at the Nesquik factory in Muscatine, Iowa. I'll be there.
Got it.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck.
Accidentally maximized the Zoom window. Our faces got too big on my screen.
No, dude. Fuck that.
I don't want to look at us.
Tiny faces only. Yeah. It's early. It's daylight savings.
Yeah, it is. We agreed to record at 10, and I forgot that really means 9.
Mm-hmm.
The hour made such a big difference to me.
Have you eaten anything for breakfast?
Yeah. I had my Pop-Tart and banana.
Nice. A lot of sugar there. Mm-hmm. I haven't eaten anything.
Oh, you haven't?
I usually don't eat until like noon at least.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a breakfast boy. Okay, this is Rock Hard Caucus episode 139. It is March 10th, 2024 right now. And I have collected too many articles today, so we'll see what Evan and I get to. We are not going to cover all of this probably, but there's a lot of shit going on.
There is a lot of shit going on, and a lot of it is shit.
The first shit on the shit pile is that the Democratic caucus, happened, that's in heavy scare quotes, it happened over this past week, which really means that they just counted the ballots.
Yeah.
And released the results on Super Tuesday.
Yeah, really commanding, impressive performance from incumbent President Joe Biden.
Yeah, he won easily.
90.9% of the votes.
Mm-hmm.
11,000 total votes.
Yep, yep. The total number of people who participated in this is 11,669. That is not a lot of people, but it is an uncontested primary. So, you know, I don't expect a lot of people to care and participate in this.
Yeah,
but that's not a lot of people.
I talked about getting a ballot and like writing ceasefire on it, but was too lazy to do that. I think feels like most people were too lazy to even protest vote. Though Uncommitted did come in second with 3.9% of the vote, 480 votes.
Yeah, shout out to the 480 people in Iowa who voted for Uncommitted in the Democratic caucus.
Yeah, and to the 362 who voted for Dean Phillips.
And the 268 who voted for Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, I was surprised to see her name even on there. I guess she didn't drop out, but she might as well have.
Well, she did drop out, and then she undropped out.
Oh, really?
A couple weeks ago. I swear she's done that at least twice now. She suspends her campaign and then unsuspends it.
Hmm. Is that just a way to juice the numbers?
Like, maybe, yeah. If I suspend my campaign, that gets a little bit of a media hit. And
yeah,
then if I unsuspend the campaign, a right, little bit more media. Yeah. I'm looking at this now. So I just pulled this screenshot from Wikipedia. I don't think these numbers add up.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. yeah, so all the numbers we just said actually add up to 12,193. So I'm not sure.
Do they take
where
out
the
discrepancy
uncommitted happened? Oh, maybe.
They just don't. Your vote just doesn't count.
That doesn't quite add up, but it does almost. I'm not sure what happened to the math there. But the takeaway is that not a lot of people participated in this, the most inclusive ever Iowa caucus, Iowa Democratic caucus.
Yeah, the most inclusive.
It's inclusive because you didn't have to show up at the library at a specific time and be surrounded by your irritating neighbors, which does depress turnout. However, turnout was even smaller this time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a uncompetitive primary, so I'm sure that plays a big factor, but I don't know. I'm going to miss the caucuses, because, like, they suck, but it's, like, kind of fun, too. Like,
yeah, it's definitely anti-democratic, but it's just a weird thing that we do that's fun to talk about and make fun of.
Yeah, and you get to like mix it up, you know? You get to yell at the Warren supporters and stuff.
That's the only
goal is to go in and harass the female candidate supporters. I'm just kidding. But no, it's kind of fun. I mean, it's, I don't know. I haven't had any bad, I guess, caucus experiences like other people.
Yeah,
where they
honestly,
tried to like throw up people's votes or like where there's any like serious confrontations or anything.
Yeah, we're fine. Just more trouble than they're worth, really.
Yeah, it's more just like a pep rally.
So since this was a Democratic primary with a sitting incumbent Democratic president, the most recent thing we can compare it to is 2012, where Obama was the president. So this is, again, this is just the Wikipedia summary of the 2012 Democratic Iowa caucus. On January 3rd, 2012, the IDP held statewide caucuses to select delegates to county conventions. Incumbent Barack Obama ran unopposed. However, and this is relevant to our current situation, caucus goers also had the option of voting uncommitted rather than supporting Obama. And some Occupy movement and anti-war activists urged Democrats to vote uncommitted in protest of the Obama administration. So think back to 2012, if you're old enough, and remember the Occupy movement and where that was standing in 2012, as well as the anti-war movement in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly big popular movements at the time, but they were encouraging people to vote uncommitted against the sitting president. Now, if you recall, prior to 2020, the Iowa Democratic Party never released raw vote totals of the Iowa caucuses.
Yep.
So we don't know how many people actually voted in the 2012 caucuses. The only numbers we have are the county convention delegates, and 99% of those voted for Obama, and 1% were uncommitted delegates. So that's about 87 people out of, 8,000. And I guess the what the IDP said at the time was that about 25,000 people voted. However, Laura Bellin of Bleeding Heartland, I saw a couple tweets from her talking about this. She doubts that number because the party never released any numbers. And anecdotally, she heard a lot of stories about caucuses where nobody showed up. So she thinks it's less than that. But if we go with what the party said, that means that 12 years later, the most inclusive Iowa caucuses ever had less than half of the turnout of the 2012 caucuses.
That's impressive. I mean, I wonder how much of it really just has to do with like the media cycle, really. Like in 2012, they still had in-person caucuses, and I'm sure it was, I mean, they happened at the same time as Republican caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably at least a slightly bigger, media coverage of it versus like this year. I don't think anyone like gives a shit at all. I mean, other than, obviously people who are very mad at Joe Biden, but like the average Democrat, I don't think like what's it matter? He's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There's,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of apathy, which is the correct mindset when it comes to the 2024 Iowa caucuses. But there's also just terrible communication. Like,
yeah.
How do you vote in this? What's going on? Like, are the caucuses still happening or not? What happened was there was a window of time where you could request a ballot to be mailed to you, which you then have to mail back.
Mm-hmm.
And the period, it was like 2 months or something. I think you could start making the requests in December, maybe even earlier than that. And the cutoff date was February 19th. Which is relevant to the uncommitted thing because, as the primary keeps going, uncommitted is primarily being used as like people registering their opposition to the Biden administration's support of Israel's genocide. And that hadn't really been picking up steam nationally yet by the time the window to request a ballot had ended. Right? Because that didn't really start being talked about till Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's correct. But I wonder also how many people are just voting uncommitted because they like think that he's old as shit and they just think he's a terrible candidate in general versus the people who are voting for the Palestine stuff.
Yeah. Which, you know, I would hope that the Palestine stuff is part of the equation if you just think he's a terrible candidate.
It for sure is. But I think there's a lot of people who think he's a terrible candidate completely independent of that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's more than that. There's his handling of student loan debt. There's handling of abortion. Like that recent interview he did where he said, yeah, I don't really believe in my body, my choice.
Yeah, what, right.
What, what are you doing? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
God, there's something else that pissed me off recently. Oh, yeah. In the State of the Union.
The illegals thing.
The illegals. Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking holding sound up like a Steve pin King.
That Marjorie Taylor Greene gave him. And mispronouncing the guy's name.
Lincoln, whatever.
It was like Lakin, but he called him Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the State of the Union?
I
only watched that part. That's the only part.
Yeah,
I saw.
I mean, I've seen clips, but I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and we were just like flipping through like free TV channels, and saw it was on there, and like flipped to it for like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we actually watched this? And then immediately changed the channel. I mean, it's like speaking of pep rallies, it's just a fucking pep rally. Like, I don't understand how people actually watch that shit and think it like makes any difference whatsoever. Like, it's like, if you like the guy, you watch it to cheer for him. If you don't like the guy, you watch it in the hopes that he's going to say some insane shit, which I think Biden actually managed to mostly avoid, other than the illegals thing. He didn't have any like major, talking points of him like being senile or any of the other gaffes that don't really have anything to do with him being senile, like calling Obama like clean and articulate when he was first running against him in 2008, or claiming that he was like in Iraq, like on the front lines of the battle when he was like just hanging out in a hotel or whatever.
Yeah, so that the thing where he was yelling about illegals. I don't know if you've noticed this, but he sort of has like the kindly grandpa mode, and then his eyes like turn black and get like beadier, and he goes into his angry old man mode, which is what he shifted into for that illegals thing. And it's, I don't know, I find it very off-putting when he shifts.
Yeah, he does. He does get mad, like when he's like talking, like the look fat thing, where like there's been other examples where he unloads. Yeah, I don't know. That was like a lot of what the articles I saw that were like, oh, he was really energetic, and like he was, and I guess a lot of people saying it was like the most partisan State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm. He talked about politics.
Yeah,
he wants to be reelected. My God.
He dared to say that Trump is bad in his State of the Union.
Yeah, I mean, I think he didn't say Trump's name, though, is another thing I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't watch it, so we probably shouldn't keep talking about it.
Agreed.
Revealing too much of our own ignorance. Although I'm glad that you mentioned look fat, because I think that's also relevant to the lack of enthusiasm around like voting for Joe Biden in the 2024 Democratic caucuses, is that he doesn't fucking... He never came here, and like no one gave a shit about him ever in Iowa.
Yeah, he's like he's campaigning less than he did in 2020. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the general election, everyone's like already saying he's done, that he's going to lose, which obviously is a pretty big possibility. But I just feel like most people have not been paying attention to this at all. Most people don't want to think about Biden, don't want to think about Trump at all. So I think reading polls out this far is probably not really going to give you a good indication of what's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fool's game to make predictions eight months before the election. But
especially this election. Yeah. It's not looking so good for Joe.
Yeah. You know, the DNC is going to be in Chicago. I'm thinking about going out to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
that could be interesting. We'll talk about it.
I have a media badge now, by the way.
Oh, nice.
So they should let me in.
Yeah, I think that'll work. It's very legit looking.
That's what I'm using for the trial this week. I made my own.
Did you make that? So you made that completely yourself? They didn't give out. Did they actually give out to like the the other more credentialed members of the media.
Well, those people work for newspapers and stuff, so I think they have like laminated.
Oh yeah, they have their own
printed badges. Mine's just I wrote with Sharpie on a piece of paper and then taped that to an old work badge.
Yeah, looks good. You should put your face on it, like a really funny mugshot.
Draw it.
Yeah, oh. Or that too.
Just draw a smiley face. Okay, let's shift the focus back to the Iowa legislature, which has been an ongoing discussion on our show because they keep doing wild stuff. We're going to talk about Mike Sexton. He's a representative from Rockwell City, and I did not look that up. Where is Rockwell City?
Rockwell Collins City?
oh,
that's
Cedar
Rapids. Yeah.
It's in Calhoun County, so it is he's a northwest guy.
The fallen 4th district.
Yep, he's part of that that whole lost kingdom over there. So there's a bill that has this been passed? I think they're just discussing it at the moment. But there's a bill to ban all plant-based meat products. Oh, no, sorry. That's not what the bill is. That's what I'm getting ahead of myself here. I got to read this out of order. Okay. Senate file 2391. And I'm reading from Iowa Starting Line, Ty Rushing's reporting here. Senate file 2391. This passed the Iowa Senate 49-0 last week. So this has bipartisan support, I guess.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's not agriculture, so it absolutely does.
Yeah. Okay. It bans food processing plants from mislabeling lab-grown meat or plant-based meat alternatives. So they cannot use terms generally associated with meat from cows, chickens, turkeys, pigs, and other domesticated livestock animals.
Is there a list of terms that they can't use on the packaging?
I'm sure there is, but I didn't pull up like the text of the bill itself. It also bans the Iowa Board of Regents and Iowa Community College and Iowa Public Schools from being able to purchase meat alternatives.
Hmm.
So, like, you know, school lunch cannot have, like, a soy burger, I guess.
Dang. As if those burgers were so high quality to begin with, school lunch.
Like, honestly,
if that was meat to begin with.
Yeah, it would be a net positive for them not to be serving the kind of meat that ends up at a public school
cafeteria. Absolutely. I'll eat a Beyond Burger before a school lunch cafeteria burger.
Maybe they should consider some of these alternatives. Okay, so where Mike Sexton comes into play, during a House subcommittee, so again, this already passed the Senate. This is the House considering the bill. During the House subcommittee meeting, Representative Mike Sexton said, well, why don't I play the clip for you? Because it'll be good to have his voice in context for what I'm going to play after this. So this is a video that Ty Rushing took of Mike Sexton speaking at this House subcommittee meeting about the bill, which would force fake meat to not call itself meat.
And Madam Chair, apologize for my voice. I love this bill. I don't think this bill goes far enough. I'm sick of the anti-livestock people telling us how to raise livestock in the state of Iowa. If it was up to me, I believe I would outlaw fake meat in the state of Iowa, and I would make it illegal to transport it across the state of Iowa. Those are my comments, Madam Chair.
So, not only should, you know, tofurkey not be allowed to rhyme with turkey anymore. it should not be allowed to enter the state of Iowa for sale or for transport.
I like the idea that like fake meat manufacturers are preventing, like they're telling Iowans farmers how to feed their livestock or whatever. Like,
right.
They're completely different products. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like no one who is like out buying fake meat products like on accident, you know? Like,
right, which is what that's what they're basically saying this bill is to prevent, is people are being tricked into buying fake meat.
Yeah, ridiculous. You know what? I think they should also ban Brussels sprouts unless they have frickin' bacon on them.
Yeah. I saw people commenting that, you know, pork is a big export in Iowa, but so is soy. So this isn't like this isn't like completely pro agriculture to say, like, you know, fake meat alternatives should not be sold at all in Iowa. You are kind of like impacting another farmer's sales.
Interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting if he's like, that shit's got estrogen in it.
Yeah,
we gotta get rid of this. Actually, is lab grown meat even like a? Is that even on the menu?
Yeah, I don't think that's even sold like on the shelves.
Yeah, that's like, you know, near future stuff.
Yeah, waiting on FDA approval. Fuck, I was gonna say something else. It's too fucking early to be podcasting. But okay, I loved how he said, "I apologize for my voice" at the beginning of that. And his voice, I think, in this clip was fine. He had nothing to really apologize for. However,
yeah, he did. He just apologized for speaking at all.
Yeah, that's true. But the way that he spoke, the sound of his voice was inoffensive, I think.
Yeah.
But in response to this story going around of him saying that, you know, all meat alternatives must be banned, friends of the show, Chris Jones and Izzy, were sharing this video of Mike Sexton from a few months ago. He spoke at a Trump rally. He was one of the people introducing Trump at a rally before the Republican caucuses. And this is, I think, what he should apologize for, is the sound of his voice in this clip here.
The dark side is very powerful in Biden. Crooked is he. Your country, he does not care. The force is strong in Trump. Win he must. Help him you can. Caucus for him you shall. For without his victory, all hope is lost.
Bro.
So what's he doing there?
We need to ban Star Wars from public consciousness.
Yeah, I don't know why he was doing this. Like, why is he doing a Yoda voice?
I don't know. Everyone loves it when he does it on... Like, all of his kids love it when he does it at the dinner table. I don't know what he does outside of the legislature, but I'm sure he pulls out that Yoda impersonation all the time, and everyone just really loves good. It.
Yeah, yeah, he's really good at it. It sounds just like Frank Oz, you know.
The dark side.
The dark side. Yoda said that a lot. You haven't seen all the movies, so you maybe don't know what Yoda sounds like, but he sounds just like that.
Yeah, it's pretty close to my memory.
And Yoda also has a particular syntax that he speaks in. You know, he like rearranges the clauses in his sentences just like this.
Is very powerful in Biden.
The dark side is very powerful in Biden. Oh wait, that's not it at all. That's just like a regular sentence.
Crooked is he.
That one's good.
Your country, he does not care.
Your country, he does not care. And that, I feel like that one's missing a word. Your country, he does not care.
About?
Yeah. He does not... So what would you say? He does not care about your country is like how a normal person would say it.
Yeah. Your country, he does not care about.
About your country, he does not care. I think that's how Yoda would say it. About your country, he does not care. Maybe I should try to do the voice.
Yeah, maybe you should send him an email.
that's more of a Marge Simpson, I think. About your country, he does Homie. Not care. Homer.
The force is strong in Trump.
That's not how Yoda would say that. In Trump, the force is strong. Something like that, maybe.
When he must.
That's
Help
good.
Him you can.
Help him you can.
Caucus for him you shall. For without his victory, all hope is lost.
Yeah, that part is not Yoda at all. Without his victory, all hope is lost. He didn't... did he write that down, do you think? Or was he just riffing?
I think he was just riffing.
Yeah. There were people laughing in the audience, but it was a Trump rally, and I've seen the kind of shit that they eat up.
Yeah. I think if he would have done like a Minions, like a Gru thing, he probably would have gone over just as well or better.
Like if he was doing Gru's voice or if he was a Minion?
If he was doing Gru's voice and then he had like Minions on stage to act out with, I think that would go over really well.
That is an excellent idea. I don't even remember what Gru sounds like. Is Steve Carell doing like
Steve
Russian
Carell
or something?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Minions sound like...
Yeah.
Kind of.
I haven't seen any of those movies either. I just know that the, you know, the Trump fan base is probably more of, you know, Minions fans.
Yeah, definitely Minion-pilled.
But Star Wars is good because you can just map whatever ideology you want onto it. I mean, it's just good versus evil. There's not really... Like, I don't know, people who are trying to read politics into Star Wars seems like a losing battle.
Yeah, I mean, the first Star Wars movie is supposed to be about Vietnam.
Okay.
And then sure. And then the prequel trilogy, a lot of it is about Iraq.
Okay, sure.
But George Lucas is kind of stupid. So it's not like good political satire or anything.
Yeah. The only good part of the prequels is the pod race, which is about his obsession with like muscle cars.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was working at a movie theater when Despicable Me came out. So that's like my only memory of that movie.
Oh yeah.
I think Sarah Silverman is one of the kids or maybe no, she's in Wreck-It Ralph as a kid that looks like the kid from Despicable Me.
Hmm.
I don't know.
No idea.
Don't forget everyone. Sarah Silverman said that Palestinians should be denied food and water.
Yeah, but she was really high when she said it, so she didn't mean it.
Yeah, if I'm going to mention her, I have to.
Being high makes you say stuff like that.
That's the danger of drugs, man. They'll make you genocidal. Okay, let's talk about TikTok for a minute, because I've got another clip to play in relation to this one. I guess the U.S. Congress is going to ban TikTok in the United States.
Yeah.
It may be
bipartisan.
It's maybe really going to happen. Yeah. Which I am surprised
by.
It's
so funny. I don't really care. It's funny. Like,
and the reasoning behind it is that it's Chinese.
Yeah, I guess so. But like the whole thing is like, I don't understand who like has loyalty to a platform versus like people who use that platform, you know? Like if you're a TikTok person, like you can go on YouTube or whatever, any other platform and do essentially the same thing.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a TikTok user either.
Yeah,
so.
I don't look at TikTok. But, well, yeah, I mean, the nice thing, you know, silver lining, if you are a person who uses TikTok and TikTok gets delisted from all U.S. Mobile shops, the good thing is that every other social media platform has been trying to be TikTok for the last several years. So the features that you like on TikTok have been adopted by every other major social media platform.
Yeah. But I guess these people who are calling in to prevent it from being banned are probably just mad that they're going to lose their follower accounts. You know, if you've like earned a million followers, then you have to start over from scratch. I mean, that's no good.
Yeah. The U.S. government is now interfering with your clout.
Yeah, that's no wonder they're so mad about it.
I think that's in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Earned clout shall not be confiscated. Unwarranted confiscation of earned clout. I don't really give a shit about TikTok. What they're saying is that the Chinese government is using TikTok to spy on Americans or to influence Americans or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what they're upset about is that TikTok is doing the same shit that American big tech companies do, but it's outside of their sphere of influence.
Yes. And like you said, the most popular videos on TikTok are like the same as the most popular videos on Facebook. Like it's not like the highest, you know, viewed content is like fucking Maoism, like explainers or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm reading from a Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier piece on this by Caleb McCullough. And the reason that I find this interesting is that TikTok responded to the U.S. government's ongoing efforts to ban TikTok in the United States by having what I think was just like a screen pop up as soon as you open TikTok that says your government's trying to ban TikTok. Here is the number for your representatives. Call them now. And then a bunch of people did, like thousands of people immediately started calling their representatives. This is like the most effective call your senator mobilization effort I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for net neutrality. It's going to work for TikTok.
And Caleb McCullough's piece is called TikTok Users Call Iowa Congress Members After App Warns of Congressional Ban. So this focuses in particular on Ashley Hinson, representative for the second district. I think it's the second now. The numbers flipped at the last census. But she's the northeast quadrant of Iowa. She's their representative. Mm. She's a news lady from Cedar Rapids. Everyone loves her. She's quoted here, Ashley Hinson's office had a significant number of young people call their office on Thursday, a spokesperson said, and most sounded like they were in middle school.
Hmm.
If you had a bunch of kids call your phone, Evan, do you think you could differentiate between middle schoolers versus like fifth graders versus maybe ninth graders?
I don't know, but I don't think that's necessarily a fair analysis of TikTok's demographic, because I've seen a lot of, I mean, like you said, every other, I don't use TikTok, but I still see the videos, and it's like a lot of older people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there's more kids than older people, but yeah, it seems a little disingenuous here.
Right. To think that only kids were calling Congress over this.
And so what if they were, mostly kids? You know?
Well, true. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Kids' concerns should be taken seriously by the government. So I'm curious about this clip that's included here of Ashley Hinson. She sits on the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, which is the committee that originated the bill.
Nice.
So we've got a committee in Congress that is the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. They're so worried about China. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
They've got the people, they've got the money, they've got, you know, they're going to overtake us. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, their system of governance actually like better too.
So there's a clip included here of Ashley Hinson actually manning the phones in her own office to talk to these TikTok kids who've been brainwashed by the Chinese Communist Party. I'm going to go into this and sort of allege that this clip was faked. There's no one on the other end of this phone call.
Yeah, I was going to say, how often does this happen where the actual fucking legislator is the one picking up the phone call? Come on.
Right. There's no one on the other end of the phone call. She just wants this clip to exist, I think.
Yeah. What you need to do is find out who donates to Ashley Hinson and then use AI voice modification tools to impersonate one of her donors and then get her on the line and then talk to her about TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, if you live in Iowa, that we are in a one-party consent state, which means that if you are a person on a phone calling someone, you are legally protected. You can record that phone call without the other person knowing, and it's legal. Well, I think as long
No, I'm pretty sure
calling someone, if you're calling someone outside of the state, I'm not sure how that works.
Not sure about that.
That may complicate it. So don't take anything that I say on the podcast as legal advice.
Yeah, but if you're calling into the Iowa State Legislature, then you don't have to worry about that.
Right. If you call Ashley Hinson at her home, and the number is... I don't have that number. I'm just kidding.
319.
Yeah, that part we know. Just brute force it. Keep guessing. We know the area code, and then there's 7 digits after that. Eventually, you'll reach her home. And then you'll be safe. One-party consent. Okay, here's the clip of her definitely having a real conversation with a middle school child about Chinese communism.
TikTok. It actually just would require TikTok to cut ties with the Chinese Communist Party because the parent company is ByteDance, and they're directly tied to the bad people in China. So what we want to do is make sure your dad is protected and they... You what? they're trying to use your information and your data, and that's what they are doing. So just think of it like they're spying on you by using that app. So we want to make sure that they can't do that and that you're safe. And so as long as they are willing to divest any ties to the Chinese Communist Party, then they can continue to have the app for Americans. And I think that's really important that we make sure we're protecting you as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. So it's not banning TikTok. It's just saying that they... ByteDance, the parent company, must divest all associations with the bad people in China, as she called them, which is the people who run China. And she said, I want to make sure your data is protected, but it sounded like she said, I want to make sure your dad is protected.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. And, you know, I think that's a fair point, because dads tend to get, you know, caught up in the information, misinformation like stuff. So you definitely don't want any of the bad people's data from, you know, your dad. You don't want your dad to see any of the bad people's data.
Yeah. TikTok's coming after your dad. Don't you care about your dad? Honestly, dad, I may be off base here, but it seems like dad is probably the smallest target demographic of TikTok.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably a lot of conservative stuff on TikTok that just doesn't see the light of day, you know? But I guess
There's got to be. But yeah. That's not what rises to the top.
The algorithm.
Right. Oh, you know, that's
pro-CCP algorithm.
That's another thing they should add to that, is that conservative voices are being shadow banned on TikTok. That's another reason to ban it.
Yeah.
In a statement provided by a spokesperson, Henson called TikTok's lobbying approach gross exploitation tactics and said it reinforced the need for the legislation. So that's something I was thinking about as soon as I saw that they had this thing pop up telling all of their users to call their senators and congresspeople. Like, this is just going to make them dig their heels in even more, you know, because TikTok is demonstrating the influence that it actually has over its American users.
For sure. For sure.
Not that I don't know. I don't think that it's wrong for them to do this, because like American users are a huge part of this app's like user base, and their government is trying to like cut them off from looking at something on their phone that they like.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to like let all of your users know that and tell them that they can, you know, ask their government not to do that.
Sure.
I don't know. These phone, like, that's what these offices have phones for. They just hate being called. Well, so do I.
Yeah. Scam calls from the Chinese government.
When I realized kids were calling our office, I went into mom mode and I wanted to explain to them why the CCP's ownership of TikTok is problematic. To all parents, the CCP controls TikTok's algorithm and they're intentionally feeding harmful content to American kids. Oh, there's a couple good examples of that harmful content. Targeting teenage girls with eating disorder videos. And pushing videos that downplay 9/11. I don't know if the eating disorder thing is really the fault of China.
Yeah, that's... Americans are perfectly capable of creating their own 9/11 propaganda. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and encouraging eating disorders. We've been doing that. Yeah,
absolutely.
We've been doing that with our own domestic media for a long time now.
In fact, it's almost like TikTok isn't even the problem at all.
Right. Well, yeah, these are likely videos being made by Americans for Americans.
Yeah, for sure. And again, probably being posted on like every other American social media platform, which are all doing the exact same things as fucking TikTok as far as harvesting data, which is literally just so they can show you more fucking content that will keep you using the app. I mean, it doesn't have to be any more insidious than that.
Yeah, I mean, all this shit is evil, of course. You know, they are intentionally exploiting, you know, addictive traits in people for... Yeah. Well, how profitable even is this shit anymore?
I mean...
I assume they make money off this.
85.2 billion revenue in 2022.
Well, there you go.
For ByteDance.
Yeah. And is that just ad revenue?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd imagine ad revenue.
Well, they're collecting the, I mean, they do collect the data.
And that's, yeah, I'm that's sure real. They sell whatever.
And they sell all that shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Social media is a huge data mining operation, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, meanwhile, if you look at Twitter, like Twitter has, I don't know if you've been seeing this recently, but like the Nazi shit on there is like really, really getting big. Like Holocaust denial, videos of Hitler speeches. It's.
Yeah, I try to avoid that generally.
Well, I'm not looking
for it. Yeah, and
I've
also seen stuff that like people seeing like child pornography just like completely out of the blue on Twitter. And yeah, I mean, none of this shit is good. It's fucking.
Well, didn't Chuck say the other day that he was looking at Facebook and an ad came up for like a boner pill or something, and it was legitimately just like a video of sex, like an ad that he saw on Facebook.
Yeah, like penetrative. I'm not getting sex. Those kind of ads either, but I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there were congressional efforts to kind of like rein in Facebook. I guess over the like Cambridge Analytica stuff, like that was a big concern a few years ago.
Yep.
So I guess they understand that this isn't like uniquely TikTok, but they're going after TikTok because it's Chinese.
Right. And like, yeah, they've like you talked about the conservatives being shadow banned. That was like pretty much their main motive for trying to regulate big tech.
Yes,
for the past,
yes.
You know, like 5 years, it's just that conservatives aren't getting enough visibility.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when those efforts are reversed and we get Elon Musk running a social media platform?
Right.
A growing Nazi presence.
yep.
Straight up fascism covering everything there.
Yeah, but do you really want to post on Blue Sky?
Well, how often do I post on Blue Sky?
That's right.
No, I don't. I don't really. I kind of liked Blue Sky because it was just Twitter.
Me too.
And my username has the website of the podcast in it. I thought that was a cool feature.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, what I use Twitter for is different than what, like, I like to just like see like what people are talking about, obviously, with the fucking like conservatives, like Nazi stuff. It's harder to do that. But there is more ideological diversity on there, at least. You can at least find the people that you want to listen to. And then, like, I don't know, Blue Sky is like all center left people, like, pretty much. Yeah. It seems like it's just anyone who left Twitter and like that's their main motivating thing. So, like, I don't know. And I also like to like see, like, if I'm watching a sporting event, I like to see what people are saying about the sporting event. You can't do that on other platforms that I know of.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. You don't care about that.
when a big basketball game is happening and I see a bunch of my friends just post, wow, just completely devoid of context. It's like, okay. But whatever. I post a lot of worthless bullshit too, so I don't judge people for that. Spokesperson for Republican Representative Zach Nunn said his office received a high number of calls about the bill. Nunn said that the bill was aimed at limiting the influence of China on Americans. Yesterday, TikTok's Chinese owners used their grip on our nation's young people to instill fear by sharing misleading and deceptive information about a bipartisan proposal. This legislation is not a ban of TikTok, but is a ban of the Chinese Communist Party's influence on America's young people. Well, I don't think that should be allowed either. I think the Chinese Communist Party should be allowed to directly mail literature to all of America's children.
Yeah, honestly. Their propaganda is way better. I mean,
yeah.
It's like all their whole thing is like look at these decadent Americans and look how much like look all these American TikToks versus our Chinese TikToks about like making a nice meal for your family. And like going to work and, and having a, enjoying, you know, working with your coworkers together to make more toys for Americans to.
Meanwhile, in America, if we make a video about making dinner for your family, it's like there's got to be some weird pornographic element to it. Yeah. Like the it's a woman with huge knockers, and she's like,
yeah, it's like feeder content. It's like guys are just feeding their significant others.
I love so making dinner for my family and submitting to my husband's will.
Yeah.
That's the wholesome content here in America, is reinforcing traditional gender roles.
I love to crack open a huge tub of mashed potatoes that I've been saving in my survival bunker. That's like one of my favorite things.
All right, where are we at?
We can skip the guns. We kind of talked about it last week.
We did, but this happened since then. House lawmakers advanced $3 million grant program to help schools buy guns for teachers. So not only are they allowing school staff to be armed, they are in fact giving schools grant money to purchase guns for their staff.
Great idea. I mean, not much to say.
Did we talk about that? There was like a small town sheriff who was using budget money to buy like automatic weapons and then selling them privately.
I think we got bumped from one of the last episodes, but yes, we have not talked about that.
That's what I was thinking about when the news came out about this grant program. There's going to be like a an elementary school principal who's using the grant money to buy like a fucking mini gun, which he then sells to a drug dealer.
Yeah, he's got all the tactical attachments for his AR, all paid for from the Iowa legislature. That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
$25,000 per school district. How many guns does that even buy?
Oh, okay. So the $3 million is like total.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. It's totally reasonable now that I know that.
Yeah. They could use the money to purchase infrastructure and equipment related to arming staff. So they could build like a training grounds on the school campus.
Yeah.
For the staff to train themselves.
Put an outdoor shooting range right next to the playground.
Right.
I saw a lot of people, you know, justifiably, you know, upset about this and relating it to sometime last year where the state declined free money from the federal government to like,
oh yeah,
give to feed children.
Oh yeah.
We cannot spend money on food, more guns only.
They can also use the money to provide stipends to employees who participate in the training associated with employee permits to carry weapons. So they can give you bonuses for completing the training.
You know, is this only for like K through 12, or do you think I could do this?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, like college students can like buy guns themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's probably more important to have the college professors armed.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be more guns there just as a matter of, you know, who's eligible. Yeah. Okay, we should move on to this Washington Post piece that came out today. This is coming out in advance of a friend of the show, Tara McGovern's trial, which is this Tuesday at the Johnson County Courthouse. Jury selection will begin at 9 a.m. I will be present and reporting on the entire trial. I cannot report on jury selection. That would be a huge violation of,
yeah,
of everything. So I'm not going to be tweeting or anything from probably 9 until 1 p.m. or something. But after that, it's fair game. I am officially recognized media. I showed you my badge already.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so this is a national paper reporting on the situation with Tara's arrest and upcoming trial. The Washington Post, Molly Hennessy Fisk, wrote about this. Headline is "Transgender Activist Risks Jail to Challenge Law Targeting Protest." Don't need to really read the whole thing, because people listening to the show probably know what happened and why. But I do think that if you live around here, you've got relatives who live around here, you should be sharing this article as much as you can. Make sure as many people as possible in Johnson County are aware of this Washington Post story by Molly Hennessy Fisk. If you've been called for jury duty, if anyone you know has been called for jury duty, make sure you read this. Make sure they read this. But make sure that you or they know how to keep their mouth shut on Tuesday.
Yeah, starting Tuesday, mouth shut. I also really hate the headline for this. Transgender activist risks jail to challenge law targeting protest. Now, I think she was just protesting. I don't think... I think she's legal... Oh.
They.
Sorry.
You're not the only one misgendering Tara.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
This article does.
I read the article earlier, so that's probably where I'm getting it from.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, they were not trying to do anything other than protest. Like, no one should have to, like, become, like, the spokesperson for... like, why these laws are bad. Like, that's not something that you willingly choose to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. This is something being thrust upon Tara, not exactly something that Tara wanted to do. There's a very nice photo from a body cam that opens up this article. It shows Tara walking through a crosswalk carrying a couple of pride flags with a very handsome gentleman walking right next to them. It's me. Let me just pick out a couple details here that I think are good. Yeah, this context is good. While Iowa City is a politically liberal, socially progressive community, the state of Iowa has veered sharply right in recent years, and not just on LGBTQ issues. It was among 16 states to enact Back the Blue laws, increasing protest-related penalties following demonstrations over the killing of George Floyd in Minnesota in 2020, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Governor Kim Reynolds signed Iowa's measure after her car struck a protester during a Black Lives Matter rally. You remember the details on this, right, Evan?
Yes. she struck Jalen Cavill.
Yes.
Friend Jalen, of the pod.
And that wasn't that like in a parking lot?
Yeah, it was like, it was very avoidable, I believe.
Yeah. So the Back the Blue law, among other things, increases penalties for protesting in the street, gives drivers a lot more leeway if they hit a protester with their car who was in the street. You know, that. I think that's a bad thing to do, to run over a person with your car. But if that person is a protester, they're less of a person in the eyes of the law. So it's okay to hit them. Mm-hmm. They were threatening you by being around you. in front of your... I mean, what were they thinking, being in front of your car?
Your multi-ton metal internal combustion engine. Or I guess it could have been a Tesla. So...
Yeah.
Though I think generally the people who run over protesters are probably more likely to be like coal rollers than sensible Tesla owners.
Yeah. Man, I can't even remember what kind of car it was that drove into me at this point. It's been so long now.
Hmm.
It was a car, though. It wasn't like a big truck. If it was a big truck, I'd be dead.
Right. It's a big motivation for why those big trucks are being purchased in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Conservative legislatures since then have been focusing on these violations, said Timothy Zick, a professor at William & Mary Law School, whose recent book, Managed Dissent, examines laws governing street demonstrations. The penalties are going up. The criminal penalties are getting more serious. I would not be surprised to see more of these prosecutions going forward. Again, Tara has been charged with... two misdemeanors, interference with official acts, and disorderly conduct, obstructing streets. It has its own qualification now. A street was obstructed. For anyone who's not living around Iowa City, the obstruction was at the corner of Madison and Jefferson, which is where the Iowa Memorial Union is. This was like 8 p.m. on a Monday, if I remember right. So it obstructed traffic for... maybe 10 vehicles. And let's see. The court, McGovern faces a fine of up to $3,415 and as much as 13 months in jail if convicted. So over a year in jail is on the table for this. Unlikely.
Yeah.
But within the scope of the sentencing for these violations, a year in jail. And most of this was within a crosswalk, I will add. I was there. I witnessed all of this. So this was a group of university police officers shoving people out of a crosswalk so that cars could continue driving through a street. And it's also mentioned in this article that there were like 200 people involved in this protest. Only 7 have been charged with crimes. The charges came about a month after the protest. So you'd think if this was like a serious issue, it would have been like arrests on site, you know? But it came after a month of University of Iowa Detective Ian Mallory reviewing body cam footage, surveillance footage, identifying people, seeing which of these 200 people met the were over the threshold of, you know, criminal activity to bring charges forth. There's a really wild coincidence here that of all the potential people who could have been charged, only 7 were charged. All 7 of those are transgender people.
What are the odds?
Which if you spent a month...
Well, 7 out of 200.
Yeah, those
Not
are the
great.
Odds, I guess.
Not great. Not great.
So that's like 3.5%, right? If you spent a month, you know, tracking down the identities of these people, you know, how much should I reveal here? I've seen a lot of the discovery from this. There are people who have been identified, all of them transgender. There are people who have not been identified, who do not appear to be transgender. I would allege more effort was put into identifying certain people as opposed to other certain people. I believe that the police department and their detective were singling out a certain type of person to charge with crimes. Quoting from the article here, the prosecutor handling the case has requested the jury not be told that the defendant was among 7 transgender people charged, arguing it's irrelevant to the jury's determination. McGovern disagrees and disputes the detective's account of the actions that led to the arrests. So it's not relevant that only trans people have been charged, says the prosecutor. There are certain facts that they really don't want the jury to find out about.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
All right, well, since Ian Mallory's police report is quoted here, I'm going to read what's in the article from it. Protesters were chanting and constantly trying to walk in the street in front of vehicles, preventing them from driving away. Again, this is an intersection with 4 crosswalks, or 3 actually, because one side's a parking lot. Tens of those people abided by police requests and instructions to leave the roadway and were non-confrontational. But McGovern and 2 other protesters were questioning why they can't just do what they want and claimed they had rights. This is a police report. People were claiming they had rights.
They're claiming they can do what they want. I'm sure that's exactly what was said.
Whatever, I can do what I want. Oh, and actually, this isn't from Mallory's. This is from another cop whose name I forget. But it says, when I advise them they can cross the street, the female and male crossed, and the older lady, this is referring to Tara as an older lady, hissed back at me to not misgender her, nor talk to her, and walked away from me. This is editorializing, I think. This is a police report. You gotta, just the facts, please.
Yeah, for sure.
Accusing someone of hissing at you.
Hissing.
And then misgendering them 3 times while including the fact that you were asked not to misgender them in a hissing tone. He wrote that McGovern pushed and tried to argue with Police Lieutenant Travis Tyrell that she and others were allowed to protest in the roadway and then began yelling at Tyrell to stop touching her. Tara, I'm sorry that I'm reading this verbatim. But it's relevant that you've been misgendered hundreds of times in the police reports. McGovern, he continued, was only being touched by Tyrell because she wanted to disobey his commands. Okay, I've seen the video of this. What's being described here is that one cop is like pushing people out of the crosswalk, out of the street. Tara approached to record the interaction, right? And the cop grabbed Tara's arm or shoulder, you know, kind of forcefully holding them over here. Tara says, "Don't touch me." Travis Tyrell says, I forget the exact language here, but Tara says, "Don't touch me. Stop touching me," or something like that. Tyrell says, "I will not." Tara never pushed anyone, by the way. What's being written in this report is that he's trying to talk around how a cop was grabbing Tara. He says in the report that Tara walked into his arm. And this is escalated to saying that Tara pushed a cop. A cop holding someone's arm or shoulder is now a cop being pushed by that person. Oh, this is it. Tara said, take your hands off me. That's what Tyrell responded, I will not, to. Anyway, the article gets into the efforts to, like, have the charges dropped, to have the local county Democratic Party censure the county attorney, who is an elected Democrat, and their refusal to do so and the conflict that arises from that. It's a pretty good contextual article, lots of information here. I would love for this to spread all over the county, all over the state, all over potential jurors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'll be at the trial. I'll be covering it as an official media representative. So watch out for more information coming soon.
Yeah. If this case is so flimsy, I wonder how many other cases are similarly flimsy of the JoCo 7.
Yeah. I mean, you can't blame people for taking plea deals just to get this shit over with, you know?
Right.
I mean, when you're being threatened with jail time over, you know, being in a street for 5 minutes, it's like...
Right.
Yeah, the power of the state suppressing you.
Also, like, I just don't understand, like, they're blocking the cars. Like, people can't just, like, turn around or, like, take an alternate street. Like,
okay, well, you know, since you bring it up, I can tell you a little bit more about that intersection. You've been there. You've been where that is, right?
Yeah.
So, that intersection, Madison and Jefferson... Jefferson is a one-way going up the hill, mm-hmm. right? And then the next street over is Market Street, which is a one-way going down the hill onto Madison Street. Everything to the north of that is sort of blocked in by that intersection because it's a one-way getting into there. They've got two parking ramps and a few like smaller parking lots all in that area. Which all the only exit from that whole couple blocks is through that intersection right there that was blocked.
Hmm.
So people can't turn around to get out because they would have to drive the wrong way up a one way.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, part of the problem here is that the police didn't have a plan for something that they should have known was going to happen. That intersection was also blocked at the Matt Walsh protest a few months earlier,
mm-hmm.
from which I think... Well, I don't know. There were charges for the marbles, but I don't know that anybody got, like, disorderly conduct for the intersection protest at that one.
Yeah.
So it happened before. They knew it would happen again. And rather than redirecting traffic, maybe blocking that one way to allow people to exit, you know, if you're going to prioritize a handful of cars over, like...
Which is, the main thing is, like, we're just... You go to jail for like inconveniencing someone for 5 minutes at most. Like
the whole thing was like maybe 20 minutes, maybe. Yeah. And if you know what, I've seen all this body cam footage. There's footage of one of these cops saying the street was blocked for 15 minutes. It's over. It's all good. Everything's fine. They recorded themselves saying that, and then they brought charges a month later. So anyway, rather than turn those cars around, find an alternate route out, they chose, let's take a handful of officers, sort of like force a physical confrontation with a group of 200 protesters. Like, you're escalating a situation that you could circumvent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There would have been no physical contact between police and protesters had they not chosen to start pushing people. And I mean, that's the way it always is. Who always initiates force?
Yeah. Like people just run up to police officers and start shoving them. Like when there's like a visible, you know, multiple police officers in the area.
Right.
People generally don't want to be arrested, with some exceptions.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather not, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's enough. I think we got enough of the facts out there.
Good.
Well, if you would like to call us and tell us more of more facts that you know, our phone number is 319-849-8733. Yes, we share an area code with Ashley Henson's home phone, 319. You could call our number and leave a message for Ashley Henson if you want. I'll pass it along to her. It's 319-849-8733 again.
Yeah.
we've been known to be sort of a intermediary.
Yeah, for many Iowa politicians, really.
You can also mail us. We have a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 5336 in Coralville, Iowa, 52241. You can send us postcards. You can send us stickers, books, whatever you want. We got a couple books recently.
Mm-hmm. You got any more Joseph Dobrians?
No.
Still waiting to finish your collection?
Yeah, I've... the next one I need to read is Hardwired, which I do have a physical copy of over here that I found at Goodwill. I forget which ones I don't have yet, but that's sort of on the back burner for now.
Yeah.
If you like weird music, I'll be playing a few shows in Iowa City over the next couple weeks. I'll be playing a set with Drop Bear at the Close House. Actually, we'll be in the Cloud House, which is the smaller, like the garage next to the mansion, but it's all the same address. March 13th. Drop Bear is a bassoon and saxophone plus electronics duo with my friend Gabby Vanek. I'll be playing a solo set a few days after that, March 17th, same location. The address is 538 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. And I will also be playing as part of the Christine Burke Ensemble, same location, March 20th. All the details can be found at justinkcomer.com/shows.
You know, I have something to plug today.
Yeah, yes. Let's hear it.
All right. So I got in contact with the Central Iowa DSA, Democratic Socialists of America. I've been a member for a while, but haven't been real active. But they are trying to reboot the chapter. And so there's a couple events coming up this week. There is a social, St. Patrick's Day social at the Ingersoll Tap from 4:30 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, March 14th. And I believe the first drink is going to be on the DSA. Planning to try to make out to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another March for Gaza on Saturday, March 16th at 12 p.m. at Simon Estes Amphitheater. And I'm trying to make that as well.
Nice.
Yeah, there's been some other Party for Liberation, Socialism and Liberation has also been organizing multiple rallies for Gaza, for Palestine. And so they're going to continue doing that and encourage everyone to go to that.
Yep. If you are in Des Moines or around Des Moines, go on out there. Sounds like Evan will be there.
Planning on it. It's not on a Sunday. Originally the poster said Sunday. So I was like, oh no, we're not going to be able to record on Sunday.
Yeah.
But no, it's Saturday. So
yes, Sunday streak continues. I think you should prioritize, you know, a march for Gaza over our recording session.
You're probably right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I already mentioned it today, but Tara's trial begins on March 12th. That's this Tuesday. Remember, jurors cannot be punished for any verdict that they pass, and a defendant cannot be tried a second time for the same offense if they are acquitted. Looking a bit further ahead, the Johnson County Democratic primary is on June 4th. A candidate that I like is running for Johnson County Supervisor. Her name is Mandy Remington. Her website is Mandy4Supervisor.com. If you like our show, this podcast, and you would like to hear more of it, you can go to patreon.com/rockhardcaucus, and there you can pay $1 per month and get a whole bunch of audio, or you can pay $5 a month and get that same audio plus a few videos. And your money helps us continue making the show, so we appreciate it. Just the other day, we released a new episode of Speed Freak Read Speak, the 20th episode, which is a show where our friend Tony and I discuss Sonic the Hedgehog comic books. And that I don't know, maybe that's a limited audience who's really interested in that, but I do think that it leads into very funny conversations. So I think if you have any interest at all, you may like it. So give it a shot. And we're working on a Slipknot series. Do you want to maybe record that this week, the new episode?
Yeah, I have listened to Slipknot's first album, and I would be happy to record this week.
Okay. Yeah, we should talk
about
that.
And I liked it. It was pretty good.
I like it, too.
It's better than Mate Feed Kill Repeat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So a podcast review of Slipknot's 1999 album coming soon with a special guest who hasn't been on the show in a couple years, so I'm looking forward to having them back.
Yep.
Okay, that's everything. I didn't have a piece of closing music selected for this episode. What do you think? You got anything?
No. You should play some of your own music.
Okay. Maybe I will. Since there's a Drop Bear show coming up this week, maybe I'll put some of that in here.
Yeah, there you
go. All right. Well, that's been Rock Hard Caucus. Thank you, Evan, and thank you, listeners. And I'll see you soon, everybody.
Bye.